This is the Blaze and Access podcast, amplifying disability perspective one story at a time. Today is Wednesday, May 8th. I'm Blaze Bryant. One of the most tragic events we've experienced over the past 15 years or so was the Boston Marathon bombings. Back in April of 2014, I spoke with Antonio Caban, who I had journalism classes with. At the time of the bombings, he was a producer here in Albany at WTEN News 10 ABC. I asked him what it was like when he found out about the news.
So it was obviously that Marathon Monday last year, and I remember where I was in the newsroom. I was sitting across from my executive producer, and that day I had been tasked with taking over for the 4 o'clock show, so producing the 4 o'clock show. And the first bomb went off at about 2:49 p.m., and at that point I had gotten my show pretty much set and together, and my assignment editor shouts across the newsroom that they're talking on Twitter about a bombing at the finish line. Possibly two. And all of us at once, I'll be honest, we did not react to it as something, as a serious matter. I mean, very often times on Twitter, there's a lot of buzz, but sometimes it doesn't actually, you know, it's either fabricated or it comes in, it just doesn't turn out to be anything at all. But this was not the case. So a couple of minutes after we all kind of brushed it off, we got the official announcement from ABC News over the loudspeaker. And then the visuals started coming in. And I've, in my entire journalistic career, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to shed those images from my mind, what I saw.
For sure. And let's not forget, you were just getting your feet wet as a producer at News 10 ABC.
Absolutely. It was probably at this point officially as a titled producer for about 4 months. I had produced before, but this is the time that I had the full title and an actual show that was dedicated to that I was responsible for.
Certainly,
so it was a little different. You walk into it with a different mind. That's for sure.
And what did you do? How did you deploy the troops? How did you assemble the team, the coverage team, to cover everything that was going on?
It's very interesting in the world of, especially in the world of TV, because I always think of it as what they teach you in school. They can never prepare you enough for whatever situation that you're going to come across. So every situation that you respond to with breaking news, it's always going to be a little different. With this particular one, how serious it was, ABC ended up taking over as far as like our coverage on our television. We allowed ABC as a special report to come on air. But in the background, we were formulating plans as information and development started coming in about the victim and bombings and what was going on in the city of Boston, because it was not only, and you know, the chaos in the newsroom, I'm sure, was the same across the country. We immediately focused on what reporters were coming in that night, who had contacts with people in Boston, who could we get on the phone that could possibly give us any witnesses that could have given us a sense of what was going on the ground. And then most of all, we were also concerned with any possible capital region residents that were there running in the marathon. Boston is very close to Albany. So, you know, I almost feel that it hit home for us. It hit home for us, too. But as a journalist, you need to focus, you need to hunker down, and you need to get the story, figure out what's going on in the story. And like you said, deploy the troops. So as soon as we found out who was coming in and who had contacts, we immediately sent them out to Boston.
No one got hurt that was running from the Capital Region, right?
Not that I know of. Not that we were able to to determine. I know there were Capital Region residents that were in Boston, either as a spectator or runners, but not to my knowledge were any of them actually affected by the bombing itself.
So, obviously, I mean, you guys did great work, you know, getting great stuff. I mean, which every single Capital Region station did, whether it's radio or TV that covers news. So now that you are down in Boston, the other day we had the one-year tributes. What did you guys do that was different from the other media outlets in Boston to cover the tributes?
What we did in general, we actually started our projects months ahead of time. We had reporters and anchors go out and interview those who were very intricate to either catching the suspected bomber that fateful Friday, and then we also spoke to the victims as victims' families. We spoke to the survivors, which is what we focused a lot of our pieces on, were the survivors. I'm not too familiar with how others in our market, produced their stuff, but we titled ours as Boston Remembers. And we focused a lot of our coverage, like I said, on the survivors and how are they doing this day? How are they doing as we approach the marathon anniversary? It was very important because Boston, if you've never lived in Boston or if you've never been in Boston before, it is one of the six most populated cities in the country. However, it acts like a small town. Everybody here is a neighbor to each other. And that's one thing that I noticed when I got here. So when we went out and we started doing our stories, our reporters and our anchors, and we were everybody was very touched by what was going on, was affected by what was going on. So in a way, our anchors and our reporters going out and talking to the survivors and those who went through the ordeal, we all shared that commonality. You know, we went through it together as Bostonians.
Right, and you talked about the small town atmosphere that Boston has. It's a smaller city than if you've never been there. It seems like.
Yeah, it is. It's a very small, tight-knit community. One thing that stood out from the tributes that I was watching the other day on our station was that the executive director of the Boston Athletic Association referred to those who unfortunately lost their lives that day and that week as neighbors rather than victims, because that's what they were.
Wow.
They were so... Everybody is so connected in some way, shape, or form. Just for an example, Governor Deval Patrick, when he was running for governor, one of the victims, Martin Richard, was 2 years old at the time. And there was a picture on the Richards family mantle of Martin Richard holding one of Deval Patrick's signs.
Wow.
Our mayor now is Mayor Marty Walsh. And he is also a Dorchester native, just like Martin Richard. And Mayor Marty Walsh said he was going through pictures, and he noticed that he had his arm around a little boy in one of the pictures, and it turned out to be Martin Richard. So it's a very small world type of situation here in Boston. Everybody is a neighbor, and everybody is affected. Some would connect it or draw some similarities to 9/11 in New York. But I feel that New York is what's more spread out than Boston is. And I feel the sense of community here. You can tell. And you can understand, too, when I was watching the coverage with all of our talent across the board, across the news realm here, all the broadcasters, they were affected emotionally, physically. They might have known somebody who runs the marathon. The marathon has been going on for years, decades. This is a tradition that was unfortunately shattered by two individuals.
But the marathon, it is happening Monday, there are some different security measures being implemented. Why don't you talk about some of those?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that they do have in place is at the finish line, the actual finish line itself, it's going to be a lot harder as a spectator to be there. There is going to be way heightened security. Boston police have been out and about all week long, and unfortunately there was actually an incident last night where a suspect, a male, was arrested after he claimed to police that there was a rice cooker in his backpack and they had to detonate it. He was arraigned in court today, but that's just a very good example of how vigilant police are staying. They are on top of it from the start line to the finish line. Cameras have been put in place, and from what I've been hearing from the police commissioner, everything is going to go off well. Is what they're anticipating. They say that this is a family event, and it is. It will always be a family event. And they just say this year they're taking things a lot more seriously. Security is of the utmost priority, and to make sure that everybody's safe.
Absolutely. I have about two more minutes here. So people oftentimes, when they hear about heightened security, there is this general sense of discontent. And one of the most recent examples of that is the Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium. People were complaining about how parking is going to be limited and how you can't bring coolers in, so on and so forth. What is the sense in Boston in terms of the heightened security in the marathon?
I think that the marathon has been going on for so long that ever since last year had happened, any sense of, allowing those runners and those spectators to feel more comfortable has been well received. Yes, there are things that you cannot bring. There are limits to what you can and cannot bring in to the spectator on the route. But I think that for the most part, those out there understand why that's needed.
Okay, well, that's great. I mean, it's one of those things that kind of came to mind because as I mentioned earlier, that things really in people in general don't always like some sort of authority. And you like it down there in Boston?
Boston is excellent. If you've never gotten a chance to live in a New England community, it is. That's exactly what it is. It's a community. And not only have I seen that in the way that we treat others and they treat others here and how they respect others here, but it's been very welcoming. Not only at my workplace, I was very welcomed, but just in general to the city where I live, the town where I live, which is Brookline, which is just outside of Boston. Everybody's very friendly and very helpful. And I think that's that embodies what Boston Strong really is. It's a strength within this community.
BlazinShows@gmail.com. BlaisinShows@gmail.com. Follow the Blazin' Access podcast wherever you get your podcast and on social media, Facebook and X at Blazin' Shows. And if you have a minute or two, I'd be grateful if you left a rating and a review. That helps other people find the show as well. Transcripts are AI-generated and are not perfect, but they do give you a baseline sense as to what I'm talking about here on the show. Tune in for part 4 of our Rewind tomorrow. I'm Blaze Bryant. Thank you for listening to the Blazin' Access podcast, amplifying disability perspective one story at a time. Have a great day.